Inside on Business, the news hour is brought to you by Square One DSM, an initiative of the Greater Des Moines Partnership. Learn more at squareonedsm.com. And Iowa Softwater, clean, safe softwater for you and your family, iowasoftwater.com.
Welcome to the Business News Hour. Thanks so much for hanging out with us today. In studio with us is Dr. Tom Swartwood. He is the Assistant Director of the Entrepreneurial Center at Drake University. And we have a young man from Niger with us. His name is Asher Adini, and Asher is from Niger. And we're going to find out more about that and what he's doing here. Tom, welcome back to the NewsHour. It's been a while.
It's great to be back, Michael. It has been. And it's a real treat to be here with Asher, who's one of our 25 visiting Mandela Fellows, which is part of a White House fellowship program started a few years ago. Second year Drake has hosted the fellows.
Yeah, this is really an interesting thing, the Mandela Fellowship and the Young African Leadership Initiative. 25 young people from Africa have been here to visit Drake. Why?
Actually, this 25 is part of 1,000 visiting the United States.
It's amazing.
All young professionals, leaders identified in their home countries as part of a fellowship and outreach exchange between sub-Saharan African countries and the U.S.
And why? Why is this important for these 1,000 students, or these 1,000 young people, rather, to come to this country and experience some of this culture and then perhaps take some of this entrepreneurial idea back home? Is that the idea?
Well, that's certainly part of it, and we're fortunate at Drake for 2 years in a row to have a large contingent of entrepreneurs, people mm-hmm. actually starting businesses. Many of them have already started businesses. But these are proven successful, ambitious, and by young people, young adults. They all are highly educated. Many have graduate degrees and even postgraduate degrees, experience in large businesses and small government experience. And what they've come here for is a recognition that it is a global marketplace,
global
no matter
marketplace.
What they do.
Yeah.
And we have everything, by the way, from cricket farming to healthcare. Okay,
it's pretty amazing.
Social media, co-working, some products, a lot of service businesses, a lot of water and clean initiatives. They are coming to exchange, not just to get ideas.
Got it.
And the exchange part is really important. And it's really important to us. I mean, tried hard to host a second cohort. I mean, it's a competitive process. We're happy to do it because of what they bring to the community.
I was going
to
say.
And what my comment to people is, it's 25 of the most ambitious but ready and willing to learn. They actually do things. They do the things we ask them to do. And I characterize them as people who are doing things. They are not waiting for us or anybody else to come and help them do things. They are doing things. They will take help if they can get it, but they're going to do it anyway. And bringing that idea of their own, bringing their enthusiasm, bringing that ambition and confidence is an incredibly powerful message for those of us who receive it. And I'm not just talking to the academics. I mean the business people in the community. And we've had dozens of businesses host provide support for our visitors this year.
That's the voice of Tom Swartwood, ladies and gentlemen, from the Entrepreneurial Center at Drake University. Asha, welcome to the Business News Hour. Nice to have you here, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
And you are from Nigeria. Tell us, what is your business idea that you've come to the United States and working with the folks at Drake and wanted to continue back in Nigeria?
Okay, back in Nigeria, I run a human resource firm that focuses on connecting young graduates with employment. So we work with both candidates that are looking for jobs and connecting them with employers that have those jobs ready. So, and we also consult for small and medium-sized enterprises to put structure in their human resource department. So in terms of performance management, talent management, we do that, we consult for them. And that is important in Nigeria because the labor policies laws are loose, so there's no enforcement of policy. So hiring and firing could be done at any time.
Hiring and firing can be done anytime.
Anytime. So that's why it's very important that we come we partner with these companies back in Nigeria to create good culture, more inclusive culture for them, such that hiring will really be low in terms of turnover. So that's what I do.
That is the voice of Asher Adini. Asher, tell us, what is the employment picture like in Nigeria? How is the unemployment?
Okay. The unemployment rate is very terrible. So we have a 25% unemployment rate, and that's youth unemployment rate.
Really?
So, yeah, so it's really high. So when we talk about 25% unemployment rate, it's it means that the youth too are underemployed.
The youth is underemployed.
Yeah, so we're talking about underemployment, and we're also talking on about unemployment. So most of the things we also do is also job training. So we offer job trainings to add up to skills of this young graduate, because when you are in the university or colleges, you're not really trained on how to get job. You're not trained on
same
how
here.
Yeah, so so that's what we do. We try to we equip them with necessary skills to get good jobs and to do well on their jobs.
You know, I wish that we had lots more time. I'd love to introduce you to my friends at Taro International. Taro International does work in the soft skills area that you're talking about,
so,
I believe.
Michael, we actually met with Rowena Crosby.
Yeah. There you go.
She was one of the really generous local business people that spent a day with the fellows a couple weeks ago now, and she came and spoke about her business, and I know Asher had a chance to say hello. Yeah. It sounds pretty straightforward what he's trying to do, but as you acknowledged, we need these same services, particularly for small to medium-sized companies. One of the things that Asher identified was how hard it is for a small company, your business, my business, to do all the onboarding, the training, let alone dealing with the regulatory environment and a fast-changing environment, while at the same time trying to address this really pernicious, particularly the underemployment opportunity. He described to me lots of well-educated young people, just very difficult for them to connect with good jobs.
And here in Iowa, Asher, our unemployment rate is sitting at about 2.1%, 2.3%. Come on over.
Well, let me tell you, Michael, the other interesting thing about this group of people is I'm 100% confident that we're going to remember and their names and hear about them in the not too distant future, but certainly in the future. These are all people who are moving the dial in their respective home countries. And we have them, I think, from 17 different countries this year. Last year we had about the same number. They stay in touch. The value of their network is really important. And Asher, it's funny, he's really right in the middle of it, taking on a big task of connecting all three legs of the chair, if you will, the employer, the employee, and then actually, I guess four, then training the employee, but also providing services to the employer. So he's not just a LinkedIn, he's kind of a LinkedIn, and actually, T Row is a great example. He does a lot of that support as well.
Interesting stuff. What is your impression of Des Moines and the United States? Is this your first visit here?
This is my first visit to the United States. My impression, and I think it's still my last impression about Des Moines, is that Des Moines is actually very nice, and I heard somebody say it's Iowa nice.
Yeah.
So I've met with really kind people, very beautiful people. I've been inspired first by the hospitality from people. Today I was I met someone at the Rotary Club, and today he called me and then said he wanted to hang out with me. So he actually took me out today without just to hear my story, and you know, so that's one of the things. And I've met with CEOs of companies. I've met with the founder of Kemin Industry here, and it's really been a humble experience for me to meet with such great businessmen, hearing from their story and being inspired by that. So it's been very pleasant for me. I've been part of the art festival, I've been part of the farmers markets on Saturday.
Yeah.
So yeah, so it's been. I've not felt any other thing than the Iowa nice.
The Iowa nice. Yeah. One of the interesting things that we had Sarah and Elizabeth in from Uganda and also from Congo, and they were talking about their impressions of the United States before they got here.
Yeah.
They thought everybody had guns and we were stealing cars.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting. Too many movies, I would suspect. your business model to put together individuals with emerging or established companies in your country.
Yeah.
What types of reward systems are there for employees there? What's the starting wage rate, benefits? Do they talk about benefits as something that...
So I understand the question, and that's part of our work too, to determine what the compensation is for the employees that come in and how beneficial the role is for the employers too. So before we came in, most employers think that they only need to get the result from the candidate or from the employees. They don't need to participate in coaching. They don't need to participate in mentorship. They don't need to participate in trainings. So that's what we try to do now, is to lecture, to kind of, culture is the tone at the top. So there needs to be an inclusive culture in those firms. And that's what we do when we talk about a talent management system for the firm.
One of those things, when you have a high unemployment rate, many times businesses can do those kinds of things because there is no competition and there are so many under or unemployed individuals that they can say, well, you just come to work for me. We're going to give you what we think we ought to give you. In this environment where we are having such low unemployment, many businesses have found that first, wages have to go up, benefits have to go up, they have to start treating their people with dignity and respect. And those types of things, I think, come along with the economics of low unemployment.
Yes.
It'll be interesting to see how business reacts to your attempting to coach them.
Yeah.
As well as the individuals that are job seekers.
I mean, that's a great question, Michael. So, Asher, how do companies react when you come in and say, okay, we'd like you to change how you treat your employees? Because that's what you're proposing, right?
Yes, yes. So we've done it over time, and fortunately what has happened has been that with the client that we work with, we've gotten those clients by word of mouth advertisement. So someone told them that, oh, Giddy Jobs has done a great job for us. So they're looking forward to us doing a great job for them too. So they look forward to what we want to say. And, you know, just like in the United States, there is still the war for talent. So when you train your employees, you don't want them to go. So we are there to say, oh, you don't really need to increase their salary per se. Just make sure your culture is good. Create a good working environment for your employees to stay. Yes, compensation, the salary might grow up a bit, but that's not the primary thing. The employees also need to be satisfied with their job. So in terms of work-life balance, it also has to be there, and the environment also has to be conducive.
You know, it's interesting you should say that, because just this past Monday we had Ann Berry in from Arion HR Services, and she was here talking about much the same thing. Even in this country, if you want to attract and retain employees, even in this environment, you need to change and alter the culture of your company so that you are much more welcoming and rewarding at the same time.
Yes.
True?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Ash, let me ask you this, because something we stress at Drake and in the Entrepreneurship Center, and frankly, most business programs around the United States, is measuring results.
Yeah.
So, and you told me previously that you've been able to grow your business through word of mouth. You have a happy client.
Yes.
Tell us, how do they know you've done a good job? Are they seeing it in profits and sales? Are they seeing it in lower turnover?
Okay.
How are you measuring
your
impact?
Okay, yeah, so we have different system for different clients. So in terms of recruitment, is how fast we can recruit.
Okay.
In terms of culture, is how... So when we conduct what's called audit, HR audit with the employee, so they get to say, okay, this. So you ask a series of questions, and then you look at the previous performance and the most recent performance in terms of how inclusive has been the culture, as the leader being very attentive, listening to them. So there are different things that you ask, but we also conduct human resource audits of the entire firm and ask for feedback from the employees. So they give feedback, and we measure our work against the feedback and see if we've created the right system for the company.
And two other questions, Asher. One of the things has to do with measuring success. One of those items might be measuring productivity in the workplace with the employees. Is productivity going up? And experts here have indicated that when the culture of the company changes to be much more employee-centered, productivity goes up. Are you finding any of that?
I think change is really, really hard at the initial stages.
It is hard.
It's very hard. So even if we're changing from a bad culture to a very good culture, it's still pretty hard.
Sure.
So productivity won't really rise at the beginning, but it surely will rise as we go on. So so let me give an instance. We work with most interior design firms in Lagos. Lagos is the economic capital of Nigeria, housing about 20 million people. So so we measure productivity by how well the interior designers churn out their work with time. And so it really... it depends on the industry we're working about.
I lied. I was going to have just two questions, but I've now got two more questions. One is, how long have you been in business with your business of retaining and your HR business?
Okay, at Giddy, we started Giddy Jobs fully January last year. To that, I was with Coke and then the Coca-Cola. Yeah, Coca-Cola in Nigeria. I worked with the largest marketing operations firm in Nigeria too. So after that, I started Giddy Jobs.
Okay, so this is relatively a new opportunity for you. Final question, and because I'm in this space, how do you go? And you indicated that word of mouth. You know, one company says, "Oh, you know, Niger did a good job. Asher did a good job for us with his company." How else have you been able to market your firm?
Okay, so I think that's one of the greatest lessons I've learned from Drake University now, my time here. Because prior to that, we've not really done any kind of marketing. Yes, from my experience at Coke, I focused on customer service. Because our solution is about service, about interaction with clients. So so I focus really on service. But right now we're going to also move our branding into marketing, so into some channels for people to know us more. So we
into some marketing channels so that you can have that uptake much more quickly.
Yes. And he's not going to forget the customer service.
That's part of
marketing.
Don't
take away from this that we're against that. We're all for that. No customers, no business, everybody in the room knows. Yes.
That, of course, the voice of Dr. Tom Swearwood. Tom, thank you very much for coming in.
As always, Michael, it's a pleasure.
We find this invigorating, and also our thanks to Laura Kennard, who set all of this up. Through Drake. And Asher, congratulations and welcome.
Thank you very much.
And I understand you're now going to be pitching. Is that correct?
They'll be
pitching this idea to investors?
Local people here. Some may be investors. Local people here. Some may be investors. A number of the participants have submitted applications for grants that are part of the fellowship program, and it's a competitive process. We worked really hard the first couple of weeks on that. Now we're waiting for results. Last year, our group garnered 4 out of 25 out of the 1,000 participants in the country. So we're optimistic, but this is a competitive group, Michael. These young men and women are rock stars. They really are. It's a treat.
Well,
it is, and you said invigorating. It is absolutely invigorating.
It's been wonderful for us to spend just a little bit of time and attempt to learn more about your culture and business, I think, really transcends so many different ways of life. And if we can all get on the right track, that's a good thing. And it's good for the economy in Nigeria. It's good for the economy in the United States.
Absolutely.
And one more thing, Tom, he dresses very well. Did you notice this?
Yes, yes. This is a handsome group, I can tell you that. But I'll also tell you that I saw a number of the fellows at the 8035 concert.
Oh, okay.
And they represent in that direction just as well as when they show up on a business program. I was pretty impressed. It's a pretty hip bunch.
We love it. All right, thanks so very much, guys.
Thanks, Michael.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right,
we've
got to duck aside, and we've got just enough time to find out what happened today on Wall Street. That is coming up next here on the Business News Hour.